I wish you a wonderful good morning. Nice to have you with us again. And let us start this day with a prayer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful morning. We thank you that we can start with you. Thank you that your presence is here, that you love if people gather for your word and for you. Thank you that you are here, that you want to speak to us. And I hope, and I pray, and I hope, and I believe, Lord, that you actually speak to our hearts and show us what is on your heart. Amen. So Christmas is not too far anymore. So if you have left some presents you have to buy, you do not have too much time left. And Christmas always is a time where we meet. It's a time of fellowship. And if you have time of fellowship, it's always that it's important to talk about it before. Not just after it, but before. So share your plans, your wishes, your opinions about Christmas with your with the people you celebrate with. Imagine everybody just thinks, okay, it will be my way this year, but you're not talking. Definitely it will not be your favorite food on the table. Definitely it will not be or the process of the whole evening, it will not be the way you wished it to be. And what we can do is we talk before it. It's very normal. We talk about our opinions, about our wishes, about our plans, about the circumstances, what is best. And the same thing, we cannot go in union also with God if we don't really know him. And the Bible so clearly explains us what are the plans, opinions, and wishes in God's heart. And only if we know God more deeply and deeply, we also can go in union with God. And only the ways of God make sense if we know him. Because oftentimes you experience a challenge and you think, oh God, it does not make sense to me. I prayed it totally differently. And this morning, we want to learn from Moses how he learned the will of God more deeply. And you can open your Bibles with me to the second book of the Bible, to Exodus, 2 Moses. And I want to start with some verses from a very famous story. The story where the people of Israel were led out of Israel, out of Egypt. God came to Moses and gave him a very challenging calling. He told him, I want you to go back into Egypt and to lead my people out of Egypt. In the first place, he was not too convinced that this is would be a good idea. But in the end, he went, he was obedient, and he was in Egypt now, and he knew he should go to the Pharaoh, and he went, but the first reaction of the Pharaoh was not, oh, that's a great idea, it's a good idea to serve the Lord, and I want you to go into the desert to leave my country. No, the Pharaoh was not very pleased with that idea, and so he had to bring them much more work. So the workers, the Israelites, they had to work much harder than before, and Moses was sad. And he said in verse 22 of the fifth chapter, Moses returned to the Lord and said, why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Gisela, könntest du mir ganz kurz meine Wasserflasche bringen? Die ist an meinem Rucksack. Dankeschön. Yeah, so Moses was troubled and confused. Die Wasserflasche, tut mir leid, Wasserflasche, gerne. He was confused why God did not save his people. And so he was talking to God. God, why did you not rescue us? Dankeschön, vielen Dank. I'm sorry. My voice needs some oil. Yeah, he was confused. He thought, oh God, you promised to rescue us, but now you're not rescuing us. And oftentimes, We are in the same situation where we think, God, I did pray the perfect prayer. And I think it's your will, but somehow God is doing things not slower than we think, but in a different way as we think. And the question arises so often, God, why not quicker and more easy? Why all the challenges? Why you are powerful, you love me, so why do you not rescue me much, much easier and quicker? And God has a plan. And as it's good to communicate about plans we have for Christmas, it's also good if we realize God did communicate what his plans are. And in the following chapters, we read much about why God did it that way, and how Moses developed in his attitude from the chapter 5 to the chapter 11. It's very, very interesting, because we see in the beginning, we see a Moses that was at the first hindrance, he was confused and was in despair. In the end, we have a completely different Moses, and we want to look at this morning. You can open your Bibles to the next chapter, chapter 6:30, where Moses goes on to explain God why that so many problems are in his life. But Moses said to the Lord, verses 6:30. But Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, why should Pharaoh listen to me? So I have nothing to bring God. I have no good speech. My voice is not good this morning. So what could I bring God? Why should Pharaoh listen to me? My own people did not listen to me in the first place. So why should the biggest, the mighty ruler of this world listen to me, little man? 7:1. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. So it's not because you're good looking. It's not because you are so mighty in your speech. It's not because you have anything that I need. But I made you as God. I made you like God to Pharaoh. Of course, Moses was not suddenly God, a godly being, but he had the status, the authority of God to Pharaoh. So what God is teaching him here is, you are not the little slave that begs for a blessing. You are the master that commands what will happen. And this is so important, that we as children of God, we should not feel as slaves to a circumstance, as slaves to a problem. No, God calls us up over the problem. And so important is it that we learn to pray in that way. That we learn to pray not as a slave being suppressed by problems, but as a child of God ruling with authority over problems. It does not mean that the problem goes away immediately. We see it here very clearly. But it means that God wants to change my attitude. And this attitude that God works on here in Moses' heart, God is also working in your life. 7:2 and 3, you are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and my wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. So God also told him, it will not go quickly. It's not easy. I will bring many, many signs and wonders, because Pharaoh, he does not like you to go. And we see till the end, Pharaoh was never pleased and never okay. He never gave his yes to them. Sometimes he said, yeah, you can go. But in the end, he said, no, you cannot go. And even in the end, when they went out of Egypt, He came after them to bring them back. So Moses never had the blessing from Pharaoh. But the point was that Moses stops asking for the favor of Moses from Pharaoh, but that he realized that God set him far above Pharaoh. God even said, used very strong language, I put you as God, like God, over Pharaoh. So I gave you all authority over Pharaoh. Yes, he's taking his while. We need 10 plagues. It's 10 times that you need to go to him and say, let my people go. But in that process of going to Pharaoh, going back, coming to him again, telling him the message, going back, going to him, coming back, it is your heart that is strengthened. It is your faith that is deepened. And this is, I think, one of the most important goals that God has. Like in the story, also in your life. It's not that God is lazy, God is too far away, or God is somehow not able to bring change. No, it is your heart that needs change. It is my heart that should learn as Moses to act as it is due and fit to a child of God that lives in authority. Not praying as a slave, oh God, please rescue us. No, hearing God's voice that sends you and sends you with authority and put you far above every circumstance and every problem that we face in our lives. Normally we think, if I have authority, I can just say, problem, go away now. This is the most favorite prayer we pray, but it's not reality, because God has a plan, and you do not go 1 or 2 years to school. You go many years to school. You go many years for training for a university degree. You have many years to learn, because we as human beings, we are not like computers that get a USB stick and all the data is transferred into my heart. No, we have to learn by experience. We have to learn by experience after experience after experience. And God does know that. If we change to the New Testament, we see that even Jesus had to learn to be obedient. So Jesus had also that process of growing. We see him in the temple with 12 years, teaching with wisdom and revelation all the scribes. So why not starting his ministry with 12 years old? From his knowledge and wisdom, he would be ready. But there needed to be some things in his heart developed, so that God decided to wait until he was 30. And this is the same thing in your life, that God has a plan with all the challenges in it. And the goal is to teach you to get the right perspective as a child of God should have. We turn to the last verse in Romans 8, where we find the famous verses in 8:28, where Paul explains, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And what is his purpose? So why are all the challenges good in your life? Sometimes we stop here and we think, oh, we just have to trust that God knows it all. Yeah, he knows it all, but he explains it all also. And Paul says, and we know. We do not just trust, we do not just hope, we do not just believe, we know. And what is it? The purpose is, in 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So you have that authority, that place that is above all the problems. And the meaning of the problems in your life are that God wants to transform you into the image of his Son. And that is a long process. So there are in your future some more challenges waiting for you, changing and transforming you more and more. If we know that, we can pray totally differently. Not just, God, please take it all away quickly. God, where are you? Why are you not working? Do you not love me? What is wrong? No. I can pray, God, transform my heart. And I realize my neighbor is not my problem. It's not the goal of the challenge. It's my heart, my attitude. My child who's not behaving, he's not the problem. I am the problem because I am not used to live in love, perfect love and authority. The boss I have who makes me trouble every day, he's not the problem. It's my problem that I have not yet learned deeply to walk in pure love and enjoy, although I have a difficult boss. So the problem, life is not the problem, but my attitude that God wants to transform. And it's so encouraging to read, to be reminded which calling and which place God gave us. He gave us authority to work with Him. And yeah, so let us learn to pray in the right way, to pray in accordance, in unity with God's goals for you and for me today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you explained your plans for us so clearly. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you did not leave us with a lack of knowledge and revelation, but you told us so clearly what your goal is for today, that our hearts are transformed this day, that we can show your image, your likeness, your character, your love, and your joy in the midst of this world. In Jesus' name, amen.